Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and today we're speaking with Fran Lefevre, and we're talking about icky, sticky people problems. That's right, you heard me, icky, sticky people problems. Fran, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, this is a very interesting topic. Icky, sticky should get people's, really thinking.
I think it does, but when you listen to people and you talk to people in business, these icky, sticky people problems are cropping up more and more, and they create a real problem for people on how to address them and how to handle the situations.
And I think that's the key, isn't it, is that a lot of these issues we're going to talk about today are things that individual managers and business people and HR professionals are a little uncomfortable with sometimes talking to people about it, and you just don't know what is going on or how to address it and not make somebody feel uncomfortable.
I think most people don't like to do uncomfortable things that put them outside of their comfort levels, and icky, sticky problems are just that. They're usually very personal, and they have an emotional component, and people want to try and avoid those discussions. I joke with people about being careful not to create the human resource zoo. First, you're an ostrich with your head in the sand and figure if you ignore it, it will go away. When that doesn't work, we become chimpanzees, and we do the three chimps of see nothing, hear nothing, and say nothing. And finally, we have a huge elephant in the room, and everybody tries to work around it, but everybody pays attention to it, and nobody wants to acknowledge that it exists, but it definitely affects productivity.
So let's being the ringmaster of this zoo, shall we? And let's talk about how, business leaders, how HR professionals can deal with this. So let's start with the easy stuff. Let's start with what exactly are icky, sticky, challenging situations?
I think we can separate them into categories. So the first category is one that's been around forever, and that's the personal appearance type categories. In there, we have body odor, we have bad breath, we have the person who either has too much perfume or cologne, or just the smell of the perfume and cologne is bad enough. We have issues with hygiene as far as cleanliness of clothes or hair. And now we have some new ones that have come into the workplace, like very unusual hair colors or styles. Long fingernails with various colors and assorted looking decals on them. Piercings, mostly multiple. Tattoos. One of my favorites now that sometimes they ask us to address clothes. Clothes are too tight. They're too short. They're too sheer. There's too much cleavage. All of these fall into personal appearance type issues. And then we have personal life issues. You have problems with working. We're working and the kids are home and it's summertime and the phone is ringing constantly and the kids are calling all the time. Or you have adult children who are back home and they're calling all the time. Or you're in the sandwich generation and you've got kids and parents who need you. Or you may be in the situation where you don't have the kids, but you have, like I have, grandcats and dogs that are just like family. Then there's substance abuse and financial challenges that can come into those personal life issues.
Those alone are enough to give you a headache.
Yes, and the worst part about it is when you're dealing with the people business, one size does not fit all. If we go back and just look at piercings and tattoos, in some companies, that's totally unacceptable, or they have to be covered, or they have to be limited. In other companies, it doesn't matter. So it's very much a company-by-company type situation of what is your policy going to be, and what's acceptable and what isn't. I think one area that is pretty much the same everywhere is those interpersonal behaviors that happen at work. Co-workers don't get along or refuse to talk to each other all of a sudden. One of my favorites, bad attitude, and I always hate the A word, because if we look at attitude, there's always something concrete that makes somebody say that person has a bad attitude. There's negativity. Every time you approach somebody and ask them to do something, you get a negative answer. There's sarcasm, and that's one I know well, because that's my natural inclination, and you have to watch sarcasm.
No.
And yes. Yeah. And then it's not my fault. It's hers, or it's theirs, or I didn't do it. And gossip that gets in the workplace and starts to affect morale and productivity. My favorite category is a new one that we see cropping up, which is workplace etiquette. And I guess the best part, way I could explain it, is all of a sudden your lunch is missing from the refrigerator. Someone else has taken it and has had your lunch and has eaten it and doesn't evidently feel bad about that. People are cooking things in the microwave that the whole kitchen and the office reek. People are clipping their fingernails and having bodily functions in the middle of the office. And little things like, every time I go to use the copier, there's no paper. Every time I go to find this, there's no toner. Every time I find the kind of stuff that comes from using the last of, whether it be you drank the last cup of coffee and didn't make any more, or you always leave the copier with no paper in it. So those are the kind of categories we lump things into nowadays.
Well, those are certainly, I think when you really think about it, these are things I'm sure everybody in the audience right now at least knows of one, if not more than one of these items. I mean, these are everyday things that we deal with, right? Everyday things in the workplace. You know, there's probably one person that somebody can think to themselves, oh, I've dealt with that. And so why is it, and we're going to go back through this, obviously, but why is it that there is a reluctance to talk to somebody about these specific issues? Is it because they're personal in nature?
I believe it is. And most of the time, it's an uncomfortable conversation to have. And some of the issues we really don't think belong in the workplace. We have a tendency to think, well, they should know better than to do that. So why do I have to tell them not to? Why is it me who has to have this conversation?
That's right. Why? I'm not their mother. I'm not their father. Why do I have to do this?
Absolutely. And I guess the only answer that you can give people for that is when it becomes a problem that affects either morale or performance in the workplace, then it becomes our problem, and we do have to deal with it. And I understand that. I can remember back, I've been in this business for 30 years, people really haven't changed. These problems were the same problems that you were, you know, forced to deal with back then, too. And it's never a comfortable conversation to have. But if you don't address it, it does not go away. It, as a matter of fact, it gets worse.
Well, I was just going to say, one of the things I think about is if you allow something to continue for a period of time, then it is deemed as acceptable because nobody said anything about it.
Absolutely. And when it's deemed to be acceptable, then especially if it becomes a performance issue, if the fact that someone is negative at work and is sarcastic and refuses to cooperate and won't help their coworkers, if that continues to go on and you don't address it, then it affects the morale of the rest of your workers, especially your high performers who are really working hard and looking at this saying, why aren't they doing something about her? Why is she getting away with this? So you lose some credibility when you don't manage your employees and employee situations.
When you're talking to HR professionals, business leaders, and they're dealing with these issues, I know I've heard, certainly in my practice, I've heard, well, you know, I'm not sure I really can talk about those things. They're personal in nature. And, you know, those are really, you know, things that not only am I uncomfortable, but I'm not sure I can really, maybe I'm not qualified to talk about those things. Because it's not like, as they would say, a work issue. It's a personal issue.
I think that you have to remember that we're not talking about personal issues that are outside of the workplace. We're talking about people who are bringing personal issues into the workplace. I hear many times, as a matter of fact, my own daughter will tell me that she has worked in areas where she can overhear personal conversations that are going on in someone else's cubicle. And now with the way that we do work with cubicles and everybody doesn't have a closed office, it does affect everybody around you when you constantly have an employee who's taking multiple calls from family members and discussing personal life issues that should remain outside of the business while they're at work. And that becomes a performance issue because every time that you are on the phone with a family member discussing your private life, you are not working.
Well, you know, it's important to understand that this is, and in a society today, at least what you would hear from a younger generation, where I have to deal with these things at home. You know, it's 24/7 now. It's not just work, and you know, my personal life is involved. I realize I'm playing devil's advocate for a moment, but you do hear from employees all the time that, well, I have to do these things, or I can't be productive at work.
I think that you have to address performance issues from a performance basis, starting with who are you as a company. One of the things that I always encourage people to do is to have some policies, to sit down and decide what kind of workplace are you going to have. And then you have to make up your mind, are you going to have policies that address these situations? Are you going to have policies about what is appropriate workplace attire? Are you going to have policies that say you cannot have multiple piercings? You cannot have visible tattoos while you're at work. If you write your policies and you decide, but first you have to decide, who am I and what kind of environment do I want in my workplace? Then you have your policies, and then when you hire, you have to let people know what your policies are. So if you're interviewing someone and they come in the door and they have nose rings and lip rings and eyebrow rings, and your policy is because you are a customer service place where you are going to have people coming in and out, that you do not allow multiple piercings, then that's right up front when you say to the person, I'm sorry, but if you're going to work here, you're going to have to take out your lip and ear and nose ring. And that is legal. You can do that. And I think you touched on that before, but that is an issue where sometimes people are hesitant to address the problem because they don't know what they can legally do anymore.
No, I think you're right. I think there is a big question mark sometimes of that line being drawn, especially when policies that are written are vague, right? They're not as specific as necessarily as they need to be, or they're not as, they're more general, you know, inappropriate piercings. Well, what does that exactly mean? And that it gets into a little bit of a gray area where if you talk to, you know, one person, it means one thing, one person means another. So I think defining it a little more for your organization is absolutely critical to make that distinction of what you mean by it.
We write and review a lot of handbooks in Letty HR, and one of the things that we are seeing is being very specific about that, we do not allow facial piercings, and they will say nose rings, earrings, tongue rings. I've even seen them where they say no more than 3 piercings per ear. I have seen policies where it says dresses and skirts must be no shorter than 2 inches above the knee. So some businesses are getting that specific because they want to maintain that kind of environment. And I'm a firm believer in doing that. And one of the things I also see occasionally that sometimes makes me want to cry is I'll be reviewing a handbook, and I will say to this small company that has maybe 20 people and they have a 60-page handbook, I'll say, why do you have 60 pages of policies? And they borrow handbooks from somebody else from a big company. If you are going to be doing policies and procedures, you have to make them specific to who you are. Don't buy one off the shelf and don't borrow one, because you need to have those policies and your handbook reflect who you truly are and what you want your work environment to look like.
We're speaking with Fran Lefevre, and we are talking to her about icky, sticky people problems. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back on News Talk WLOB. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered?
Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're having a great conversation with Fran Lefevre, and she is a consultant with Letty HR in New Hampshire. Fran, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
All right, so we're talking about this icky, sticky people problems. One of the things we talked about, and one of the areas we talked about, is personal life issues. With the sandwich generation being a bigger and bigger issue, with more and more aging parents, if you want to say, being a concern for working adults, what are some of the things you're seeing with dealing with that particular issue?
Well, I think that there's a number of things in place for businesses to utilize. Of course, if you have family issues that are serious, you've got the Family Medical Leave Act, and then you have the military portion of that too. So that protects some time for people. It used to be a little more cut and dried that a parent needed you to do the actual care for them rather than just to be there to support them. And that has been expanded. So if I have a parent in hospice and it is an end-of-life situation, I have protection under the Family Medical Leave to either have flexible time to come in and out or to take some time off and deal with the problem and help me through that time frame. A lot of other companies are working on flex time. I mean, they let people work from home or, you know, adjust their hours so that they can come and go a little easier. I think that it's a very serious problem for people in the workplace now, especially as we discussed before, for sandwich people who have children that are home and parents who need care. And I see a number of HR departments and companies looking for resources or being a resource to help them find facilities that do daycare for adults or that have people who come in to be able to care for a family member while someone works or to take them to appointments and to do things like that. So I think that a company would do themselves a favor if they were aware of what kind of resources are in the area that they work in and where their people live in, to be able to give them those kinds of resources and say, have you thought about this or can we try that? And I've always thought that you need to sometimes say to people, look, if you need to take a couple of days off to deal with whatever's happening, take the days off to deal with what's happening and come back. The hard part about that is that every once in a while you have someone in the workplace that seems to constantly have something going on and it's never ending. And that is a major disruption to production and to the workplace, and that one affects morale probably more than anything else. Most coworkers are more than willing, and you see many times where companies allow coworkers to donate paid time off to a bank so that if someone really needs it, they have extra time that they can take. But if you have the constant, and we'll call it abuser, where every other day there's a new catastrophe, that still needs to be dealt with. There still has to be a balance that you come to work and that you have productive time that you give the company for the salary that you get.
When you're really looking at this abuse, right, of this, sometimes HR professionals, business leaders get concerned that they're going to say something. They're going to ask some questions that they shouldn't ask that end up being, it puts them in an awkward position. How do you address with them, or how do you recommend that they discuss it with an employee when it appears to be abuse, but who knows, it might be for legitimate reasons? What can they really say or do?
My favorite two words in the HR language are, it depends. That's the solution to everything, and it does depend. You can get into the middle of a conversation that you think is going to be cut and dried, say, about a basic thing like body odor, and then find out that there's a medical situation here that you're not aware of. I would say over and over again, education, education, education. You know, you can't work nowadays when you're dealing with people without taking advantage of the webinars, the conferences, the online resources that you have to learn about the potential legalities of getting into that conversation. So if I'm starting a conversation and all of a sudden somebody throws something at me and I think, whoa, I might have to have an accommodation under the American with Disabilities Act, I'm going to stop that conversation and say, okay, let's get all the information about this and then let me do some research and see what we can do. And then frankly, I'm going to, depending on how serious it is, I'm going to at least talk to a human resource consultant, or if I have a corporate HR department, I will be on the phone to the corporate HR department, or I'm going to talk to an employment lawyer. And I'm going to stress employment lawyer, and I'm not against all the other lawyers, but many times, especially small businesses, have an attorney that worked with them and does their paperwork and incorporated their business and handles taxes or whatever. There is a difference between an attorney who hangs out their shingle and does general practice and an employment lawyer attorney. And when you're in those situations where it might be the American with Disabilities, or you might be afraid you're discriminating against someone by treating them in a manner that is different from other people, then you need employment law advice at that point in time before you continue down the discussion route.
So we've talked a lot about with different types or things that deal with these sticky, icky problems. Can you give us an overview of why you really think it is critical that organizations and companies truly deal with this problem? And I say that because we've talked a little bit around the edges of why, but what are some of the real key reasons why you think, companies have to deal with it, period?
Well, I think one of the things that people don't sometimes do, and that's a first step to do, is to figure out, is this just an annoyance or is it a problem? So, like, sometimes we just have people who aggravate each other, and they really aren't doing anything that's a real problem. It's a situation that needs to have a sit-down and say, okay, as we lovingly refer to it, it's time to play nice in the sandbox. So you can do those kinds of things. But then in other cases, it could be a problem. Basic one that doesn't sound like anything. You've got someone who comes in and has a very heavy hand with perfume. And then all of a sudden, you've got somebody else who has an allergy, and she is having a terrible time breathing, and she's coughing, and you've aggravated her asthma. And that becomes a workers' compensation issue because it's something in the workplace that is creating a medical problem for her. So not addressing something like that can actually turn into a workers' compensation case. Not addressing, say, romance in the workplace, where you might have a coworker who is flirting all the time and has gotten involved with a relationship with another coworker. And there's a third coworker who feels that now the person who's involved in the relationship is getting special treatment, and she's getting a better deal and getting better jobs, and the other coworker's stuck doing all the dirty work. She can actually file a sexual harassment claim, even though she's not being harassed. She is being affected by the relationship. So there's lots of little legal things that can happen to you that take something that could be minor or is minor and you haven't addressed it, and it can blow up into something that's major and will cost the company some money and some productivity and morale.
All things that no company wants to have to deal with, especially when it comes to bottom lines and today's tight budgets. There's no question about that.
That's right.
You know, that's just the reality of how business is today. All right, so we have to deal with it. So I guess we don't have a choice. It's somebody is doing something they shouldn't be doing, or they're really, you know, coming in and they're bothering others. What's the first step? What's the first thing that somebody should make that decision before they go ahead and start talking to that person?
I would back up even more and go back to what I said earlier about the first step is to decide what your workplace is going to look like and to set those expectations with either policies or a handbook. And then to make sure that as you're hiring people, you tell those applicants what the expectations are. After you've done that, you have to enforce them. And that's the problem that I see many times, is that sometimes we do subjective reinforcement. It could be that you have someone who is a manager, and he's your best sales manager, and he does some things in the workplace that are really not acceptable, but nobody touches him because he sells so much. And then you have somebody else who now has picked up his behavior and is doing the same thing, but he's not a key employee to you, and so now you want to address that person and not address the sales manager who's a key employee. Those are areas that, you know, you have to look at and say, if I'm going to have a rule, it's going to apply to everybody from top to bottom. So you need to look at those kinds of strategies. If you are the HR person, or you are the office manager, or the person who's going to be ultimately responsible for discipline and management of employees, you have to be careful of the friendships that you have in the workplace. We always say, be friendly, but not friends, because you will never know which day you have to come in and discipline someone who's a friend. And discipline is difficult to begin with. Disciplining someone who considers themselves a close friend of yours is next to impossible.
You know, there's no
question. It will never come out right.
That's right. I mean, it changes the dynamic. It changes the employer, the employee relationship. It changes the expectation level. It just changes all of that. And we're going to be able to talk about more about the strategies for this when we come back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered?
Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today.
We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we've been having a great conversation, a fantastic conversation about icky, sticky people problems with Fran Lefevre, and she is a consultant with Letty HR in New Hampshire. Fran, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And you know what, Fran? These are real-life things that really do happen, don't they?
Well, they most certainly do. I think that probably there's at least two or three every week that people deal with, because in the people business, that's just the way it is.
It just is. You know, as I have a colleague that runs a company, and he says, this would be a great business if it was all machines. I don't have to deal with the issues and the personal drama and all that sort of stuff that's out there. But that's the reality. Well, we're talking about strategies now, of course, of dealing with these problems, and you've talked about setting the expectations during the hiring process. You've talked about enforcing and role modeling expectations. You've talked about being friendly but not friends. And now we're getting into addressing problems as they arrive. And then I think this is one of the biggest challenges that business leaders and HR professionals face, is to actually address the problem and just hope it doesn't go away. Oh, they only did it once, Fran. It's only once. It's not a big deal.
Well, it always depends on what they only did once. If they only stole from you once, it's a big deal.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, it depends on what it is. My favorite two words again, it depends. I think that addressing the problems as soon as they arise, or you recognize that this is unacceptable, if you let it go, then you build the pattern that it's okay. And I think we have a tendency to expect that people come into the workplace understanding basic rules of how we work. And I'm not seeing that. And I use an example I had from years ago before I started consulting, and that's, you know, 20-some years ago, of a young gentleman who came to work at a manufacturing firm I was working on, and he was late. He was late consistently. And when we sat him down to talk to him about it, I remember saying to him, well, you couldn't just walk into school whenever you felt like it. And he told me, yeah, he did.
Wow.
And I sat there and looked at him for a minute, because when I went to school, you couldn't do that. And once I told him that coming to work late was unacceptable, and he was not going to, you know, he was going to lose his job if he continued to do it. He was late again. I expected he would know that. He didn't. He hadn't come from where that was, you know, not acceptable. So when I kicked back on that first one where I said, when you set your expectations during the hiring process, if you're a company that's comfortable with people coming in at 8:15 or 8:30 or 8:45, as long as they get their work done, then that's great. But not every company is like that. And some companies expect that you're going to be at your desk at 8 o'clock because that's when the phone starts ringing and you need to answer it. So you need to make that expectation in the hiring process so they understand that if they roll in at 8:15, you guys are going to be upset. And they won't know why, because they used to do it at their last job. So it's not only address it as soon as it happens, but it's tell them ahead of time what's going to get you in trouble here. And then the one that I see all the time that just sometimes makes me want to bang my head on my desk is not following through. You have the icky, sticky conversation. You worked up the guts to do it. You said, this has got to stop. And it doesn't, and you ignore it again for 3 or 4 months, and then usually my telephone rings and they say, I want to fire this person, and there's no documentation, and they've never been spoken to again since last May. You've got to follow through. And follow through is work, because you've got to monitor it. You're the one who has to be responsible for seeing if the behavior has changed. And that adds extra work to your schedule, because now, in addition to doing what you normally do, you've got to keep an eye on Mary Sue to make sure that she stopped doing what she said she was going to stop doing.
Well, it's also important, right, to make